Hey, good evening, everyone. It's lovely to be here. Although slightly nervous. So tonight we're going to explore the art and practice of listening. Can everybody hear me? Good, good. And I'll tell you a little bit about how I came to be so interested in listening. It was probably about a year ago. A friend of mine got very distressed about something that had happened, and I went to see her. And I really thought I could tell her something which would help. And I was so wrong. She got more upset. And it really made me stop and think, what on earth was I doing? So I decided then and there that I would make it my business to reflect on listening and how it could be improved in my case. And another thing that had a big effect on me was reading Vishvapani's talk, you know, about the troubles that have been in the Audrey movement about sexual misconduct in recent, and these have been coming to light recently. And I was very struck by this talk. And I'll tell you a little bit more about both those things as the evening goes on. But those were the two things that really got me going on this topic. And then I found that Ratna Ghosha had given a talk called Listening, the Essence of Communication. And I thought, oh yes, that sounds interesting. And he said two things in that talk which I found enormously important. One was, mutually supportive communication is the essence of Sangha. That's quite a strong statement. And the second one is, there can be no communication without listening. So that really spurred me on to continue to explore this. So listening, as we all know, is one aspect of communication, isn't it? You listen and you speak and you speak and you listen, and you do lots of other things as well. You look at the person, you have silence, you have touch, you have all sorts of things which help communication, but those are the two main things, is listening and speaking. And listening is, on the whole, more receptive than speaking, isn't it? But they're both extraordinarily important aspects. The quality of our listening and the quality of our speaking show what our state of mind is. And both have a big effect on other people. If we listen, that has an effect. And if we speak skillfully, that has an effect. And vice versa, obviously, if it's not skillful. I don't know if you're like this, but I'm really a bit depressed about the world at the moment. It seems to be that an awful lot of things are going wrong in the world. And it seems, a lot of it seems to be with people not being able to listen to another point of view than their own. And yes, the world feels uncertain and even dangerous at times because of this thing we have about wanting what we want, and it doesn't matter about anybody else, seems to be quite strong in the world at the moment. So I think it's really, really important that we remember to listen deeply and communicate well, to take in each other's point of view, and to help heal this fractured world. So now we're going to explore what it feels like to listen, what it is like to listen. So if you could get into twos and be ready to think about this, yes? Okay, we're going to consider two questions together. And I'll read them out to you, but they'll be on the board as well in case you, which I would certainly do myself, in case you forget them. So So the first one is, think of a time you felt really listened to. What was that like? And the second one is, think of a time you felt really unheard. And what was that like? So I think what we'll do with this is to sit quietly and think about it, because your mind might be saying, oh, I can't think of anything at all. So just be still for a minute and think of a time you've experienced both these things. Okay, and after that you're going to share with your partner that experience. You've had two good experiences. You've had a good experience and a bad experience of being listened to, haven't you? Yeah. So let's put them in the two columns. From your experience of being listened to, you can find out qualities which really help with listening by thinking about what the other person did that you liked. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And if you felt unheard, you can note down the qualities of what perhaps you think got in the way of their being able to listen to you. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Everybody on? So let's start. Just shout out an idea. Yes?
Are you talking about when we just did that?
Yeah.
What we just noticed.
What you noticed just, yeah.
Just now.
Yes. Does that make any sense? I'm not sure if it does.
Yes, it does. It does make sense. It's just because we haven't done the kind of one where we didn't have a good experience.
Oh, we've only just done
the positive one.
Okay, so let's just do the positive one. Okay.
Being interested in what the other person is saying.
Okay. Being interested.
Believing them.
That's a good one.
Mm. Respected.
Enough time.
I'm busy here.
Body language.
Body language.
Eye contact.
Can you say a little bit more about that? A couple of words more? Whoever said body language?
Yeah, I mean, are they looking at you?
Okay.
Are they looking out the window? No.
Okay.
Being able to say it in whatever way I was saying.
I want to say, in your own way.
It's annoyed me.
Yeah.
Could you please clarify the question? Is it about what helps us as a listener to listen, or about what the experience of being listened to well is like, and which?
Ah, I thought you were looking puzzled there, Sarita Gosha. What supports us in listening well? I haven't really thought of all the complications that could happen, actually. So, would you be happy to be thinking about what qualities help us to listen well? Would that be enough to make sense?
As listeners.
Sympathy.
Well, it's also, you experience this from the point of view of the speaker, don't you? Mm-hmm. You experience all these things.
Sympathy.
Patience.
Being as present as possible.
Yep.
If they established friendship.
Very trapped.
That definitely helps, doesn't it? Running out of blue. Suddenly going to go green.
Shared language?
Sorry, I've missed the one after Aria.
Trust.
Trust. Shared language, did you say?
Yep.
Say a bit more about that?
Some kind of shared values or
okay.
Certain interest.
Okay. You weren't supposed to get right to the bottom of the page, anyway, that's what's happened. So if I put shared language values, was that okay for you?
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Although that could get in the way, I was thinking, the sense of sort of dropping your own, like your example at the start, dropping your own agenda in a way.
Mm.
So, yeah. So that's probably more important. It could be more important than having shared values.
Is dropping your own agenda?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
sorry.
Yes. Because if somebody says something, you might think, oh, yeah, I know what they're saying, I agree with that.
Okay.
But then you've actually not really...
Okay.
Because you're sort of coming in with your own, your own agenda.
Yes. So would making assumptions or not making assumptions, would that cover what you're saying? Or would you like to say not having an agenda?
Yeah, both of those.
Okay.
Where?
Okay, anything else?
Empathic imagination.
Oh, okay. When I get nervous, my writing goes completely to pot, as you can see. I guess.
Not being anxious.
So, could you put that in there?
In the positive.
Being relaxed.
Mm. Well, it may not quite cover it, so we'll just see if that's right. Not being anxious might be more accurate for you.
Confidence?
You're confident?
No.
No. Okay, let's have not being anxious.
At ease.
That's a nice one.
Ease.
It covers, not being anxious about the outcome, not being anxious about how the other person is perceiving, feeling, so, or not being anxious about what they're going to say.
Oh, this is terrible. I'm going to have to ask somebody to take over.
Yeah, you don't have to write all of that. I'm just saying not being anxious covers it. Because it covers everything.
Etc.
Etc.
Okay, so let's do the second question now. Let's go back to what it was. Think of a time you felt really unheard. What was that like? So, let's fill in the right-hand side. And this is, it's really what the person being listened to experiences, and it's also giving the listener some hints on what not to do. Yeah? So, what gets in the way of our being able to listen?
Preconceived ideas.
Being very tired.
Being very tired.
Thinking about what you're going to say while the other person is still speaking.
That is very common in all of us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Distract you.
Somebody said distracted, somebody said confused. Right? So distracted by friends.
Yeah. It's the opposite of being, not being present, I suppose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said confused, didn't you? Mm-hmm. What? Say a bit more about that.
In like two ways. The person who is talking could be confused at what they're saying.
Yeah.
Person listening could also be confused at what the person's saying.
Yes.
And they're not comprehending properly.
Okay. So not understanding. If I could add that. And there is a way around that, isn't there? Mm. Which is?
Ask for clarification.
You could ask a question or two. Yes. Anything
else? Jumping to conclusions.
Okay.
Saying, I know what you mean.
or something like that. Yeah, it was just, you know, making a comparison with yourself.
Disagreeing. It doesn't have to be out loud.
It doesn't have to be out loud to make an effect. Mm.
Yep. Not being in the mood.
Not being in the mood.
Yeah.
To listen.
To listen. Like very grumpy in the mind.
Okay.
It's not there.
Being judgmental.
Going off in a huff.
Have you experienced that? That seems quite extreme, really.
I don't think I'll confide in you.
Not taking things seriously enough.
Well, we've reached the bottom of the page.
I've got one more tip to open it up.
Simply must.
A confession. Finishing someone's sentences.
Oh, yeah.
I think they know what they're going to say in finishing their sentence.
I do that.
We're good at this side.
I'm really trying to train myself not to do that.
And then rushing to give advice.
Ah.
And what you should do.
Well, that's an important one.
That which.
How are you?
Yeah, look, Cheeto.
I think we'll take a different tack, we'll stop.
Competing with them to reveal yourself.
Okay, a sort of competition on how much
you can... Yeah,
so they
say, oh, I've got something to say, so exactly the same problem.
Yeah.
Oh, I have exactly the same problem as just what I've done now, isn't it, actually?
Yes.
Well, you say, well, that's nothing. Because you've got a better exercise. Oh, that's nothing.
You're coming up with quite a lot of this.
You got me on my.
Now, I'm just trying to think of a way of putting your one down. Can you repeat what you said? Because
I said competing with them. We did a non-violent communication, and you know, someone was saying you're supposed to say they.
As an example of what not to do, just go, oh yes, I had something much worse than that, or,
yes,
you know. Mm-hmm. So although you're listening to them, you're competing with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's being self-referential, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Competing, competition.
Competition and bad experiences, eh? Oh, I don't know what's gone wrong there. Okay. Excellent. Now we're going to do two more of these as well. Mm-hmm. So back we go. Mm-hmm. And this time I'll try and remember to do it the proper way. Mm-hmm. Think of a time you really listened to someone. What was that like? And do you know what it was like for the other person? Mm-hmm. Did they give you any indication of how they liked that? Well, think of a time you didn't listen to someone. This is the painful bit. What got in the way of your being able to listen? And do you know what that was like for the other person? I have a very vivid example of that, but you may have as well. So let's set off again. This is finding out what your experience of listening is, yes?
So we're going to be just looking at number one for now, or we're looking at both of them in this.
Well, question one for both of you, one, two, and yeah. Then question two for both of you.
One, two,
if you have another session. I'm hoping that we won't have to add a great deal to what we've already got, but we may have some slightly different ones. So did anyone notice something different about that in terms of listening well and listening badly? Were there any different flavours in that, or was it all the same from a different point of view?
From the other person's perspective, it can really damage the relationship in a long-term way. Not being listened to once in terms of ever happening again if you're not careful.
Yep. Yes, you don't really feel like talking to somebody much who doesn't listen.
Could be also that not listening properly would turn from being a talk into an argument.
Uh-huh.
The conflict that arises. Mm-hmm.
I thought something about it taking energy to listen, and if the other person talks a lot, I can get a bit exhausted and start to phase out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if I don't get enough space to joining the conversation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, what can we say about this? The listener exhausted by too much talking?
Some sort of balance in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How would you like to say that?
It doesn't have to be completely even.
No.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't quite know how to put it in.
It sounds like you need to listen when you're talking as well. Listen in the sense of being aware of the other person.
The listener needs to
listen
anyway,
though.
Is that what
you're
saying?
The talker.
So you need to be aware of the person you're talking to.
You need to be considerate.
The person who's being listened to needs to listen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
we both were saying how we had experienced situations where there was actually no communication. Didn't even get as far as one person saying, I want to tell you something. There was just no communication there because somehow, one reason or another, the channels weren't even open.
So, if I put channels not open, would do it, wouldn't it?
Use the black pen, I can't really read that.
So, Sorry, I didn't hear
that.
Oh, well, it's partly my writing, I'm sure.
No, if you're a black pen, it'd be...
Is black pen better?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try black pen from now on, see if I try.
I had one thing on the positive side, which was being in the habit of expecting the other person to listen because you're used to them listening, made it easier to be listened to, if that makes sense. You're expecting them to manage to do it because they always do it.
So you feel confident in them?
Yeah.
Do you? Because they always listen?
Yes.
Does
you have experience of them,
yes.
Your previous experience of them listening to you gives you confidence that they will listen,
yes,
this time.
Can you see that in green, Savadra?
Yeah, that's yeah.
Oh dear. Okay, sort of talk.
My example came from a letter that I hadn't responded to well enough, if at all, and that led on to quite difficult.
So it's a sort of sorting out conflict already, type of conversation.
It contained a plea that I didn't respond to.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And where can we put that and how can we put that?
A footnote.
Not responding.
Yeah, not taking the...
But this isn't really a conversation, it's more like an email or a letter or something, is it? Well, it could be in a conversation.
It should include it in communication.
Mm. Yes.
Responding to that.
Okay. I think that's enough. Oh,
my one was... my experience of listening properly to somebody,
yes,
is like a gift because they really tell you things that you don't you didn't know about them or whatever. So.
Okay. So it's a gift to the listener.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah.
As well as the person being heard. I presume it's a gift for them as well.
It can create connection,
okay,
intimacy.
You have to be kind of open to that, don't you? To, and sort of willing to change or something. I find the difficulty with not listening is when people, you know, the other person is all fixed on their... They don't really want their views changing.
Okay.
So, in a way, they don't want you to listen to them, because you might give them something they don't want, you know.
Yeah.
It's both parties are going into wanting, being willing to be changed, I suppose, and be willing to be coming to
that's
you.
Really lovely.
What allowing themselves to be vulnerable, is that you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I think that's a slightly different thing as well.
I get that's again sort of trust.
Vulnerable, but not too vulnerable.
Yeah,
I think it's a good thing, isn't it? Okay, let's leave that now because we've got plenty of material there now. And carry on. So one of the things I've been really reflecting on is when we're listening, we have to listen to two people. We listen to the other person and we listen to ourselves. And that's a really important aspect of it, because if we actually listen to ourselves, we can notice what's going on. Am I feeling a bit critical here? Am I a bit bored? Am I judging here? What's happening? If you don't realise what you're thinking, you can't make a choice of how you behave, can you? So it's really important to be listening, probably 50% to yourself and 50% to the other person, because you can actually make a difference in your responses if you know what you're doing. If you're just irritated and you have no idea you're irritated, then you just start irritated, aren't you? It all bursts out and bursts forth on the poor other person. So, and the other thing is to take responsibility for our feelings. Listening is quite hard, isn't it? You can easily have a sort of running critique of what this person's saying and how they're saying it, and whether it's, you know, that is quite a usual type of thing to have. And if we don't take responsibility for that and say, actually, that's my stuff and I can decide what I do about that, then we aren't going to be listening well at all. As somebody said, you can plan what to say next. That can be a big part of listening, isn't it? All about listening is planning what to say next. And you might even start speaking unhelpfully if you're not aware of what you yourself are up to in this conversation. So I think it's quite a responsible job, listening. And it's a big opportunity to be self-aware and to choose what you actually say and do. And then I'm going to go on briefly to one of the most difficult areas of listening, which is what to do when somebody's really angry and upset. That's a really difficult one. I think in my experience, it's much easier to listen when it's nothing to do with me, the conversation. If it's about me and the person's a bit irritated or has got a few things they want to say, then I'm very unhappy with that. And these are the sort of feelings that we can have if we feel under attack in some way, even if the other person isn't actually attacking us at all, but it's just something that's going on in our own mind. I can feel under attack, so defensive and churned up. And sometimes we go to great lengths not to put ourselves in situations where these sorts of things can happen because they are so uncomfortable. I can blame the other for how I feel. That's a very usual thing to do, isn't it? They're horrible and I'm just finding this really difficult. Instead of saying, I'm finding this really difficult. Or I can somehow assume it's all my fault. They're really angry with me and it's terrible and I'm a bad person, instead of actually they're really angry. Mm-hmm. Or I can get caught up in the other person's emotions. If they're angry, I can start to join them in this sort of, you know, especially, actually, even if they're being critical about something else, you can join in, can't you? And you can carry on the conversation and it can escalate. In all these instances, it feels to me like there's a separation between ourselves and the other person. It's a sort of us and them type of situation. And that can allow us to feel justified in being critical and unkind and possibly even speaking quite unhelpfully. Or the other one we do is we collapse in a heap. This is terrible, I'm terrible, this is awful, I've got to go away. Is it possible to learn how to listen to ourselves, feel what is going on, and take responsibility for our own feelings of hurt and anger, so as not to blame the other for how we feel? And actually, one area where this happens very vividly is on the internet, isn't it? People can really start to sound off in a pretty unskillful way. I can say things on the internet that I would never say to somebody's face. I can get quite sort of self-righteous, I think. So I've mentioned briefly the experience of me not listening to somebody. And this was a very painful but also very fruitful experience for me, and I hope it was not too bad for her in that respect. I went in thinking I knew what to do, so I didn't really listen to the fact that this person was really, really upset. And I didn't give her time to be really, really upset. she needed somebody to hear that. And I didn't give her that opportunity. So she got really more and more upset. Why is it important for me to listen to her upset? Because we need to find a way of connecting with each other. And she's not in any state to worry about connecting with me. I can be worried about how to connect with her. And actually to receive the upset is one way of sort of calming everything down. And then you can make a connection. And then maybe you can have a proper conversation. So there's another aspect of listening that I'm going to talk about, which is listening to the cries of the world. And this is where we can perhaps begin to turn our attention to Avalokiteshvara, because he is the one who listens to the cries of the world, and we'll come on to spend more time with him in a short while. And I've been learning about this chap in New York called Bernie Glassman, who has started the Zen Peacemakers Order. And they have an extraordinary practice. They go to places in the world where there is conflict and they meditate, and they invite people to meditate with them. And they have three peacemaker tenets. And I thought it would be really useful, if we're trying to improve our skill in listening, to think about the three peacemaker tenets. They're difficult. The first one is not knowing. I mean, quite a lot of us have mentioned, haven't we, how it isn't good when people sort of tell you what to do and know what's happening. Not knowing means entering a situation without any fixed ideas, personal biases or assumptions of good and bad. This is tricky. And instead of trying to fix things, we acknowledge that we don't know how to respond. Even if we think we know, the reality is we don't know, because we don't know enough about the situation yet. So we have to remain open and just see what we learn by trying to stay open and have this not knowing. The second peacemaker tenet is bearing witness to the joy and suffering of the world. And that really means trying to imagine what it's like to be the other person or group of people or situation. What is it like for them? What are their lives like? What is this person's life like? Can I imagine? Can I try and stand in their shoes and just see what it's like? And that will give us a much better idea of what's actually going on. And this intimate knowing is very, very powerful, and it leads on to the third peacemaker tenet, which is loving action. So what the Zen peacemakers are saying is you don't go in and you say we've got to do this, this and this to make the situation better. You do the not knowing, the bearing witness, and it then becomes plain what needs to happen next. A very, very tricky practice, I think, very challenging, but it feels like it's really worthwhile. How do we respond when terrible things happening? And there are lots of terrible things happening in the world, aren't there, at the moment? So we have lots of practice in this. We can go into horrified anxiety or not being able to take the suffering in at all, so we just say, OK, I'm not going to think about that, that's too hard. Or we just suffer from a constant low level of unhappiness at all the things that are going on which make us feel really sad and uncomfortable. I have a friend who comes from Manchester who, at the time of the recent suicide bombing there, she really practiced taking in the pain of the people who suffered there in a context of metta and openness. Quite a wonderful, subtle practice. And she said it was really hard to maintain that balance of metta and openness with really trying to feel the pain of those people. But it worked, and she was very glad that she'd been able to do that. I think that's something to aspire to, because it's not easy. So the next thing we're going to think about is, how can I become a more effective listener? It's all very well thinking about all the things that are good and all the things that are bad, but what are we going to do about it? So, I've got some ideas, but I'll just see if you've got some ideas. But first of all, I'll say to you that Sangha Rajta has given us a clue about what we should be practicing when he says, the most important factor in any communication is the emotional state of the people engaged in it. I think that's really one of the markers. So let's go on to, or back to even. This is all getting a bit complicated. How can I become a more effective listener? What practices can I do? What efforts can I make? What values can I develop? What views can I lose? All those sorts of things. Let's just sit quietly and have a think about that. And then we'll speak from that thinking and reflecting place. Okay, so is anybody ready? Just be sure that you speak from that still place that you've just visited. Any ideas?
Yeah. Listening to the tone as well as the content.
Okay.
Person speaking to us, being curious.
Taking an interest, that's a lovely thing.
Staying in contact with positive emotion or with some kind of meta experience?
Yes. I was veering towards what spiritual practices can we practice to help us as well. So it's great to have those, and they are really good. But let's think of
mindfulness
and the metta-bhavana.
So the ability to stay with, to keep turning towards what's actually happening.
Can I put that there?
Yeah.
That's all very, very good. Turning towards.
Full Brahma Viharas.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
nothing?
Say more about that.
More about that.
Say a bit more about that.
Well, I know for myself, one of the reasons why I fail to listen is because I've got an agenda. Not, I don't mean in terms of the actual conversation.
Yes.
That can happen too. In terms of I've got a task that I'm trying to accomplish, and maybe then I come across somebody and I can be unreceptive because I think I've got to do such and such. So in a way, it's sort of being a bit more spacious.
Yes. Okay. That's nice.
Yeah. Dispassionate.
Say more about that.
I quite often find that I'm quite enthusiastic or excited about an idea that I'm discussing with somebody, and it gets in the way of actually listening about to what they have to say about it.
Yes. Easy. Yeah.
Sangha Vastus.
Sangha Vastus, yes.
Not convinced I'll spell this right, but still, I'll have a go. I think there's an H in there somewhere.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's
roundedness.
Roundedness?
Yes. I had one which was imagination. Going back to this idea of actually imagining what it's like to be the other person. Anybody else?
I've got more.
Not talking to yourself when they're talking.
Excellent. There are often two people talking, aren't they? One's talking silently and one's talking the other. And I put when listening in inverted commas.
Or body awareness.
Excellent. I think the last one I had was taking responsibility for our own states of mind. I think that's really important as well. Okay. So. One of the ways we can become a more effective listener is to listen to a higher consciousness within us. And a few of you have mentioned that in terms of metta and mindfulness, which is part of that. Sangharakshita talked about listening to ourselves. And he has this story. As the historical Ananda listened to the Buddha, so the Ananda inside us hears the voice of truth within. Often we ignore the voice of truth within, but if we can stop and listen, our ordinary mind can be receptive to the higher consciousness within us. I think that's a lovely image. If you're in a bit of a muddle, just say, what would the inner Ananda have to say about this?
How do you tell
it's the Ananda? Well, you probably question it and see if that really feels true. And as somebody has mentioned, I can't remember who it is, and I'd like to remember who it is, if we have a sense of the Buddha or any other figure being with us when we're having a conversation, then I think that conversation is pretty well bound to go a bit better, isn't it? Because there's another influence for good in the room. And this brings us on to Avalokiteshvara, who he looks down on the world with kindly eyes, and also, luckily for me, he listens to the cries of the world. So he's both seeing and listening. So what we're going to do to finish up is to have the mantra. And as we prepare to do the mantra, I would like us to listen carefully for intimations of the compassion and wisdom of Avalokiteshvara. This is quite an internal sort of mantra. Just keeping our minds steady while we open ourselves to compassion and wisdom. And let the mantra penetrate our body and our heart and our mind. So Miriam is very kindly going to lead that for us. And afterwards, if there's time, there is time, we will sit for a little short while as well.
Make offerings as well.
Yes, if anyone would like to make offerings, that would be really lovely. And we can go on quite a long time if we want to.
Amen.